Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live worship services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at goochlanechurch.com, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Good morning. I hope you keep your Bibles handy because we're going to use them this morning. I'm not going to project any of the passages we're going to talk about this morning. I'd like for you to turn and look at them in your own Bibles. I've had this sermon kind of percolating in my mind for the last several months, and particularly as I started getting older. I told several people my last birthday that I'm officially old. But something interesting happened as I was approaching that birthday. And the birthday, I started reflecting on some of the decisions I had made through my lifetime. And I'm not expecting to die. I don't know if any reason other than God may take me. But I started reflecting on some of the decisions I made, good and bad. And so anyway, this sermon, like I say, has been kind of percolating for a while. And the sermon this morning is on regret. I don't know that I've actually heard a sermon entitled Regret. We've talked about regret quite a bit from time to time. But, you know, regret can have some really hard effects on us, particularly, you know, if there are things in our life that, you know, we could have done better. I thought of several of those as I was reflecting on my past. Things I should have done that I didn't do, and of course things that I didn't do that I should have done. And then of course, you know, you think about regret, sometimes it's not necessarily when something happens or is happening, but it's some point in the future when the consequences of our actions start coming around. We might think, well, you know, if I'd have just made a better decision during that period in my life, I wouldn't be in the circumstances that I'm in right now. And so that can weigh heavily on us. And so anyway, I want to look today, this morning, about what does the Bible have to say about regret? And it's interesting, there are two words, one in the Old Testament in Hebrew, nachem, and it simply means to be sorry or to relent or to console oneself. And if you look up that Hebrew word, do a search on it, it is throughout the Old Testament. And we're going to look at some of the ways that that word is used in the Bible. In the New Testament, there are several forms of the word, but the one in particular that in some of your translations will be translated into English with the word regret is metamelomai. And again, it simply means to regret or to change one's mind. Let's take a look at some of these passages that I want us to look at this morning. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 6. So you may ask yourself, you know, is regret sinful? Is that something that's sinful? Is that something I need to try to get out of my life? And what we'll find out is that obviously that is not the case, because in Genesis chapter 6, we're told that God regretted. God had regrets. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, it says, "The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This phrase that is translated in the New American Standard Bible here, for I am sorry. That's this word, regret. God regretted that he had made man. And he said, because of their sinful nature that we read about at the beginning of the chapter there. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we kind of touched on that in our class this morning, touched on this passage, not specifically this idea. But this is the case where God told Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And of course, he doesn't do that. And in verse 11, let's just read verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commandments. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night because of that. But then at the beginning of verse 12, Samuel rises early in the morning and he goes to meet Saul. And of course, we know what he finds there. Saul has not done what God had told him to do. And we get down to the end of the chapter, and Samuel has confronted Saul's sin there. And he has told him that he's going to take the kingdom away from him. And verse 34 says, then Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel grieved over Saul. And the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. So obviously, the fact that we grieve or regret doing things is not something that's sinful. God himself has regretted certain things that he has done. In Exodus chapter 32, this is an interesting passage here. This follows the children of Israel. Moses is up on the mountain receiving the law from God. He comes back down, and the Israelites have built the golden calf. They've constructed the golden calf. And interestingly enough, God is extremely angry to the point where he's ready to just start over with Moses. And Moses, in verse 12, says, why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with ill intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth. Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people. This interesting, it says there in the middle that in verse 12, Moses is asking the Lord there to change his mind about doing harm to the people. And in verse 14, we see that God relents. And he says that he changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people. Interesting, isn't it? We've got this phrase, I'm sorry about something I've done. In 1 Samuel, it actually uses the word regret. The Lord regretted that he had made Saul king. And here it says that he had changed his mind. New King James Version says relent and relented. So he had changed his mind. Go back to the definition of this word. You remember it means to change your mind, to change your mind. In Judges chapter 2, verse 18. Judges chapter 2, verse 18. This is during the time of the judges. And there is this cycle that's going on. The children of Israel turn away from God. They go after the Baals, the gods of the nations around them. And God brings judgment on them. And then when they cry out, he brings judges to rule over them. And in verse 18 it says, when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed and afflicted them. Here it says the Lord was moved to pity the Israelites because of their groaning. And as a result of that, he changes his mind and he brings in a judge to help the people to get back on track. And of course, when the judge would die, they would fall right back into the same cycle they were in. In Jeremiah chapter 26, Jeremiah 26, this is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah here. And let's just begin reading in verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak ill to all the cities of Judah who have come up to worship in the Lord's house. And all the words that I have commanded you to speak to them, do not omit a word. All the people are coming to Jerusalem to worship. He sends Jeremiah to stand there in the court of the Lord's house. Look at verse 3. It says, perhaps they will listen, and everyone will turn from his evil way, that I may repent of the calamity which I am planning to do to them because of the evil of their deeds. You would think this idea of turning from the evil might be this idea of regret. He wants that for the people when they hear what Jeremiah has to say. But the word that's translated this idea of regret is that he says that that I may repent of the calamity which I am planning to do to them. So it's this idea of relenting or repenting, God repenting of what he had planned for Israel. Let's look at Israel's part in all of this. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 7. Exodus 13 and verse 7. Verse 17, I'm sorry. Exodus 13, verse 17. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near, for God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Here, the shortest way from Egypt to the promised land would have been right up the coast. And that's right where the Philistines were. And he knows, even later when he sends the spies into the land, they're going to see these giants and they're going to become afraid. And they're not going to want to go into the land. But he said, God knew that ahead of time. And he said, I'm not going to take them through the Philistines first off. He says, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Isn't that interesting? God knows how they're going to react. And so he chooses not to take them straight to the Philistines. And in this case, that would have been them changing their mind for the bad, right? Not for the good, but for the bad. So when they see the consequences of what they're about to take on here, God is afraid that they're going to turn around and go right back to Egypt. Jeremiah chapter 8, go back over to Jeremiah for a minute. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says, why then has this people Jerusalem turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course like a horse charging into the battle. Here it's this idea of repenting. The word in verse 6 there. No man repented of his wickedness, even though that's what God had intended. God wants us to regret sin. He wants us to regret what we have done that is in contrast to what he has asked us to do. In Matthew chapter 21, let's turn over to the New Testament for a minute. Look at this word that's over there. Matthew chapter 21. And we'll begin reading in verse 28. This is after Jesus' authority has been challenged there. They are asking him by what authority he's doing certain things. And he says there at the end of verse 27, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. And so it's this idea of we may make a bad decision to begin with. And in the case of this young man, he regretted it and turned and did what his father had asked him to do. In Matthew chapter 27, we're familiar with this passage, but I want to look at the word that's translated here. Matthew chapter 27, let's just read verse 3. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, Jesus, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. This word remorse here is this same Greek word that's used to talk about regret. You know, I ran across something that was pretty neat in this study. I know sometimes regret is because you're in a bad situation. You've gotten yourself in a bad situation. There's really no good way to get out of it. You're just having to deal with being in that bad situation. I want you to notice something here. And see if I can get it to come up. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 is right before the passage that we read about God regretting that he had made man. In chapter 5, we read about the birth of Noah. And verse 28 of Genesis chapter 5, Lamech lived 182 years, and he became the father of a son. Now, he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Some of your translations there may say, "This one will comfort us." Noah's name is based on this same Hebrew word, regret. Isn't that neat that God talks about regret and how harmful regret can be? And yet here, it's also the same word for comfort. Look at Genesis chapter 24. And interestingly enough, this is the word that's translated most often from that Hebrew word, is the word comfort. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 67, "Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent." This is Rebekah. "And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." This word comforted is the same Hebrew word. Same Hebrew word. A passage that we're all familiar with. Most of us probably in here can quote this passage, or at least parts of it. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But look at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." All right. Sometimes our choices have difficult consequences. Sometimes we know about it before we ever make the decision. We know that this isn't going to be taken well by whoever it is I'm about to tell what they need to hear. They're not going to like it. And my friendship with that person may even come to an end. I've seen that happen. I want to leave you with a passage over in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. This is Brent's book, but Hebrews chapter 7. There is a phrase here in verse 21. Verse 21. "For they indeed became priests under an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him," The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here it just says, you are a priest forever. Let's go back and look at where this is quoted from in Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 4. It's interesting, in verse 1, he tells us, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet. This is God the Father talking to God the Son, the Lord the Son. He said he's going to sit at his right hand. He's going to be a king. But then down in verse 4, it says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was both king and high priest. So why in the world would God ever regret making that statement? He says, I will not change, and he will not change his mind. That's this same word that's translated regret in the Old Testament. He says, he will not relent. He will not change his mind. Why would God have regret or have the potential for regret for making his son a high priest? What's the responsibility of the high priest? Christ is going to offer himself. I'm sorry. Christ is going to offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins. Why would that be difficult for God? Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prays to his Father, asking for a different way of fulfilling his will. You think about the Father listening to that prayer. It would have been difficult, right? But way back during the time when the Psalms were being recorded, this is laid out for us. God said, I am not going to relent. From what I'm going to ask my son to do for the world. What a great gift we have. What a great gift we have. God could have pulled that off any way he wanted to. As a matter of fact, Jesus thought he might even change his mind about how he's going to accomplish his will. And yet God said, I will not regret. I will not relent. I will not change my mind. This is the way it's going to be. When we get over to the New Testament, there's a couple of other words that we've kind of touched on this morning. Now, it's very similar. The meta part of all these words have the same root basis, to change one's mind or purpose. This particular word is translated repent in the New Testament. There's another variation of it, slight variation of it, that is translated repentance in the New Testament. I tell you what, this idea of repentance should be on all of our minds, all of our minds. When we do something that is against God's will, we need to make it right. If we've said something to harm someone else, particularly if it maybe wasn't what they needed to hear, or we said it too harshly, we need to repent. If we've left things undone, we need to take care of those things. We need to make them right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it's interesting there, Paul uses this word regret and this word repentance in the same section here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, let's begin reading verse 8. He has written this letter, first letter, maybe first two letters, to the Corinthians, and he's thinking about that, the consequences of that. And he says, "For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it." So he's gone back and forth on how he feels about this letter. He says, "For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice, not that you are made sorrowful, but that you are made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." God's plan for us is to regret our poor actions, our poor decisions, and to make those right. And he says here that you are made sorrowful to the point of repentance, for you are made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret. I would encourage you to try to look back on some of the decisions you've made in your life, some regrets that maybe you're dealing with right now, you're struggling with. Some of them you may or may not be able to have any effect on. Sometimes we just find ourselves in bad situations. But I tell you what, even with bad situations, bad consequences, we can still do what's right. And we can continue to press forward and be pleasing to God. This last passage we're all familiar with, it's another one that all of us here could probably quote, many of us. Even from a young age, we study and memorize this passage. So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches to the group there, it says, when they heard about them putting the Son of God to death, it says they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." do not stand before the Father and the Son on the day of judgment and regret not having repented, not having been baptized, and having your sins forgiven. This may be something that some of you in the audience have been thinking about a lot. I know some of you are old enough to know what you need to do. Don't wait. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and be raised to walk in newness of life. If any are subject to the invitation this morning, please come forward and you can sit up here at the front as we stand and sing our invitation song.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at goochlanechurch.com to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is goochlanechurch.com. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.